back tonight. Thank the Lord again for another opportunity to be in His house, be in our home church this evening. Thank y'all for being here this evening and looking forward to what the Lord's going to do this evening. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Samuel tonight. 2 Samuel chapter number 6 tonight. 2 Samuel chapter number 6 this evening. And again, anybody that can help, thank you so much. Lord has blessed us and given us an opportunity to get into this house before Christmas. We're excited about it, and we just appreciate any help you give us, and thank the Lord for that, and all the blessing that y'all have been to me and my family. 2 Samuel tonight, chapter number 6 this evening. I just want to begin reading in verse number 12. The Bible says, "And it was told King David, saying, The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom, and all that pertaineth unto him, because of the ark of God." Now, let me say quickly, what is happening here is the ark of the Lord has been returned to the nation of Israel. It had been taken by the Philistines. It had been returned to the nation of Israel. And David had a desire to get the ark of the Lord back to Jerusalem. And the ark of the Lord, anytime you see that in the Old Testament, is a picture of the presence of the Lord, the power of God. David had a desire to have the presence and the power of God upon his kingdom and upon his nation and upon his life. And if you'll notice in our verse number 12, the Bible tells us that the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertained unto him. Why? Because of the ark of God. Because of the presence of the Lord. Now, let me say tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to have a desire for the presence of God in our lives. We ought to have a desire for the presence of God in whatever we do. Whatever our service is for the Lord, whether we're missionaries, whether we're deacons, Sunday school teachers, ushers, whatever we're doing in our service for the Lord, we ought to have a desire for the presence of God. Beyond that, I think about as fathers and as mothers and as those that are responsible for the raising of children, we ought to have a desire for the presence of the Lord in our homes. In our homes, I want my children to know what it is to know about the Holy Spirit, to know what it is about to know about the things of God. And Obed-Edom was blessed of the Lord because of the ark of God. Notice it says, "So David went and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness." I think about how that there ought to be a certain joy and a gladness about us because of the presence of the Lord in our lives. Understand this tonight, ladies and gentlemen. God does not have to deal with us. God does not have to speak to us. God does not have to do anything that He don't want to do concerning you and me. And I think about when we know the presence of God is in our lives, we know God is working, we know God is doing things in our life, there ought to be a joy and a gladness about that fact that the Lord is with us. Verse 13 says, "And it was so that when they had bare the ark of the Lord, when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatling." Verse 14 says, "And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod." Notice David becomes excited about the fact that the ark of God and the presence of God is coming back to the nation of Israel. And he begins to dance before the Lord. Now let me say quickly, this wasn't a provocative dance. It wasn't a hip-hop dance. It wasn't a square dance. It wasn't a line dance. It wasn't the electric slide or the boot scoot and boogie. It was a holy, consecrated, special dance. It was a dance in which David was worshiping and giving glory and honor to the Lord. And tonight, for the time that I have, I'd simply like to preach a message entitled, "Examining David's Worship." Examining David's Worship. Let's pray tonight. Father, I love you tonight. Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity to be in thy house. Lord, thank you for these that have gathered tonight. Lord, thank you for the presence of the Lord. Thank you for the songs that were sung that uplifted the Lord Jesus. Father, I do pray tonight that you'd please empty me of myself. Lord, set aside all the troubles of my mind. Lord, remove any pride or any sin, anything that would hinder you using me tonight. Lord, I pray you'd give me clarity of thought tonight, clarity of speech. May you give me the anointing of the Holy Spirit that I desperately need. For in myself, I'm destined to fail, Father. I pray tonight that you'd give me good pace as I preach thy word. Lord, I pray tonight for my audience, may they listen with open ears. And Lord, open hearts. Lord, that they might be receptive, Lord, not to me, but to the word of God. Lord, I pray Christians would be encouraged and challenged. I pray sinners would be convicted and brought to a place of repentance. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going to look at this matter of examining David's worship. As we said, David had a great desire for the presence of God in his life. And as David begins to bring the Ark of the Lord back to Jerusalem and back to the house of the Lord, he begins to worship God because of the presence of the Lord. Let me say quickly tonight, by the way of introduction, there are several different types of worship in which we can participate in. First of all tonight, let me say that singing is a type of worship. The Bible tells us that we're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We may not be able to sing well, but we ought to have a song in our heart. We ought to have a desire to sing and to magnify the Lord. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, when we gather as a congregation of people and we open that hymn book, we ought to realize that we are not just singing to be heard, but we are singing to worship the Lord Jesus. We are singing to magnify Him. We are singing to uplift not ourselves, but uplift the Lord. I'm thankful tonight for the old songs of Zion. I'm thankful for songs such as Up Calvary's Mountain. I'm thankful for More About Jesus. I'm thankful for How Great Thou Art and other songs that magnify and uplift the Lord. I say tonight that when we gather together as a body of believers and we begin to sing, we ought to sing with our entire heart, with our entire being, with everything within us, ought to uplift the Lord through song. I think about when we go about our daily routine and when we're about our daily business and when we're in our car and maybe by ourselves, some of the greatest things that we can do to uplift the Lord is to sing and magnify the Lord. We're told to make melody in our heart. We're told to sing unto the Lord with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. We're to uplift the Lord in worship through the matter of singing. Another way of worship tonight is this matter of serving. And let me say about this, about serving. Serving doesn't mean attending the house of the Lord three times a week. Somewhere along the lines, we thought about serving the Lord, all we had to do was show up. I dare you, ladies and gentlemen, to go to work tomorrow, look at your boss man and say, well, I'm here, and go sit on a stool. I guarantee you, you won't have a job very long. But most believers, their attitude is, well, I'm here, that's all I have to do. I showed up to Sunday school, I showed up to morning worship, I showed up Sunday night, I showed up Wednesday night, and that's as far as we have to go. But understand this, ladies and gentlemen, serving goes way beyond that. There's plenty to do in the house of the Lord. There's plenty to serve the Lord in. There's ways to serve others. There's ways to help others. There's ways so that things could get done around the house of God. And so serving is a way of worshiping the Lord. I think about this matter of giving. You say, be careful, missionary. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, when we give, we're not giving to the missionary. We're not giving to the church, but we're giving unto the Lord. Those funds are to be given in a manner of worship, in a way of worship. God has blessed us. God has increased us. And we ought to have a desire to give back the tithe unto the Lord. And then the matter of worshiping through the faith promise, supporting those missionaries and others around the world. And then I think about the matter of the free will offering or the love offering. When someone's in need or someone's hurting, we have an opportunity to worship by giving to that need or to that worship. And so when we give, maybe financially, that is a way of worship. When we give our time, that is a way of worship. Then I think about the matter of testifying. Having the opportunity of just being able to tell how good God has been to us. I'm thankful that our church on Sunday morning takes the time to be able to give an opportunity to testify of the goodness of the Lord. As a missionary, I've probably been anywhere from over to 120 to 150 different churches this year. And I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of churches don't give that opportunity. A lot of churches don't give that chance for those people to stand up every week and say, you know what? This is what God has done. This is the blessing that God has given. And so we ought to be thankful for the opportunity just to testify of the goodness of the Lord. Now understand this, not only do we testify here in the house of the Lord, but when we go out in the community and we get around lost people, there's an opportunity to testify of how good God has done. And in testifying, we are worshiping and magnifying the Lord. And then I say lastly, another way of worship in which we can partake in is this matter of shouting. of shouting. The old time Baptists used to shout a whole lot more than what they do now. But I think about how that throughout the Old Testament and throughout the Word of God, when victory was gained, a shout would go up. When the walls of Jericho fell, a shout would go up. When a victory was won, a shout would go up. And so, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing wrong with a good hearty amen every now and again. There's nothing wrong with a hallelujah every now and again. There's nothing wrong with a whatever you got to get a case of help. You can't help it. There's nothing wrong with that every now and again. Just shouting and magnifying and thanking the Lord. And so those are different types of worships tonight. But as we look at David's worship, and we begin to examine David's worship, there are about five or six things that I see here concerning David's worship. First of all, tonight, let me say that it was a consecrated worship. A consecrated worship. Notice tonight in verse number 13, the Bible says, "And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatling." Notice David sacrificed. He took time to consecrate these moments unto the Lord, to set aside these moments to sacrifice unto the Lord. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to set aside every day in our life a time of prayer, a time to get on our knees and talk to the Lord. I believe we ought to set aside during our day, every day of our lives, to read the Word of God and to study and meditate upon the Word of God. But I believe also, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to set aside some time throughout our day just to worship and magnify the Lord. To consecrate some time to say, you know what? I'm going to give these moments to God. I'm going to give these time to the Lord. And I just want to spend time worshiping the Lord. Oftentimes we get along with the Lord and we're there trying to study maybe for a message or prepare for something, or maybe we're praying for a burden or a situation in our life, and a lot of times it's give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, and we forget to take time just to simply say, Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life. Lord, I want to worship you and I want to magnify you and I want to glorify you for your great salvation that has been given me. I want to thank you for my wife and my children and my family and all that you've done in my life. I want to thank you for your goodness to me. And so many times we fail to take time to consecrate, to set aside moments where we can worship and magnify the Lord. I think we get away from this matter of worship, even in the routine of a church service. We know that there's going to be announcements. We know there's going to be offering. We know there's going to be a special singing. We know there's going to be a preacher. And we forget that we have gathered to worship the Lord. To say, you know what? We need to magnify God. We need to honor God in this time of service. We need to come together as a body of believers with a desire to worship the Lord. And so David had a consecrated or a set aside worship. Secondly tonight, let me say this, that David had a clean worship. A clean worship. You say, what are you talking about? Notice in verse 14, the Bible says, "And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod." David had on a white, clean ephod. If you study this matter of ephod, you'll find out that the priest in the Old Testament would wear a white ephod in the service of the house of the Lord. And it was a time where they would come before the Lord clean before God to operate in the office of the priest. I think about tonight, David, this signifies the fact that David had a clean heart before God. You know, a lot of people come to the house of the Lord and they say, well, I don't know why God ain't moving. Well, it's because we're not clean when we get here. It's because throughout the week we've participated in all types of wicked and vile things. Our minds have not been on the things of God. Our hearts have not been in the right place. Our attitudes have been bad and our frustrations have overcome us. And we come to the house of God and we're not clean. We're not clean. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to worship God like we ought to, we're going to have a clean heart before the Lord. We're going to have to get things out of our whole lives that don't need to be there. I'm reminded of an older man that I knew, and he used to make this statement. He said, "Keep a short list of sins with the Lord." You know what that fellow was? He was wrong. You say, why was he wrong? Because we ought not keep a list at all. You see, whenever we sin against God, we ought to take time in that moment to get it right then. The great preacher Spurgeon was said to be walking down the streets of London. And as he was walking down the streets of London in the middle of the busy street, he stopped and kneeled and began to pray. One young man run to Spurgeon to see if he was okay. And he said, "Mr. Spurgeon, are you all right?" And he said, "I'm fine." He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I had a dirty thought." And he said, "I didn't want to take one more step before I got it right with God." You know, so many times we have thoughts that come into our minds and we meditate on those thoughts and we think on those thoughts and we never confess them. We never get rid of them. We just, okay, I'll put that out of my mind and move on. Listen, it's more than putting that thought out of our mind. It's confessing that thing and getting clean before the Lord. Sometimes we'll let things come out of our mouth that we think, man, I wish I shouldn't have said that. I wish I wouldn't have had that attitude. And we go on and we don't do nothing about it. And we move on from that thing. And we say, you know what? I need to go back and get right with the Lord in that matter. I need to get right with whoever I offended in that matter. I think about maybe we take a glance at something maybe we ought not look at, and we have a thought, or we enter into some area of life that we know God isn't happy with, and we partake in something and we sin and we fall into sin and we don't confess it and get it right with God, and we don't move on, and we wonder why our worship is weak. We wonder why our worship is not what it used to be. We wonder why we're not magnifying the Lord like we ought to. It's because our hearts are not clean. Our hearts are not clean. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to worship Him, but He wants us to do so with a clean heart, with a clear conscience. I can't worship God when there's sin in my life like I ought to. You won't be able to worship the Lord when there's sin in your life like you ought to. And I'll be honest with you, as a preacher, I've not got an S anywhere on my chest. I'm not a Superman. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. And there are times in my life where I get complacent. And I don't realize, Lord, I've sinned, I've messed up, I've fallen away. And I find myself thinking, Lord, where's the fellowship? Lord, where's the worship? Lord, where's that union that we one time had? And I realize that, hey, I need to get clean before the Lord. I need to get right before God. Many of you may wonder, Lord, where are you at? Why am I going through this? Why am I struggling in my worship? And it might be a fact that we need to do a little self-examination. And we need to look at our linen ephod and realize, hey, I've got some dirt on my skirt. Hey, I've got some dirt in my life that I need to get rid of. And I think about how David had a clean worship. Not only that, but tonight, not only David's worship, was it a consecrated worship. Not only was it a clean worship, but thirdly, it was a contagious worship. A contagious worship. The Bible says here in chapter number 6, verse number 15, it says, "So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with sounds of trumpets." You see, David's worship began to infect other people around him. He began to allow others to catch hold of what he was doing. I remember growing up as a young man at Landis Baptist Church. There was a man by the name of J.E. Price that was there. And Brother J.E. Price, when you would hear, "Glory, get out of the way." Why? Because he was getting ready to go to shouting. But usually when J.E. Price went glory, there was going to be about three or four other men that would glow glory with him. And more than likely, there was going to be a lady that started throwing a handkerchief like this, and you didn't know what was going to happen. But you say, what was happening? Brother J.E. Price would get full of the Spirit of God, and he would begin to worship, and it would infect others around him. I think about another time in my life at Landis Baptist Church, again, the church I grew up in. I was there and I was going through a difficult time in my life, and God was calling me to preach, and I was fighting that thing, and there were some things that happened between me and my father that I didn't agree with and didn't like, and I was really struggling in my life. And I remember it was just a difficult time that was going on, and as we were going through that time, I remember me and my dad was talking, and I was saying, "Lord, I just want this thing to be right." And I remember a man singing a particular song, "I Believe Jesus Is Coming Back," like he said. And as he began to sing that song, me and my dad was talking in the back of the church. It caught my ear, and I began to kind of walk away from that and listen to that song. And in that moment, the Lord said, "It's going to be all right. I'm going to take care of it." And the next thing I know, I said, "Glory." And then I said, "Glory again." And then I said, "Glory again." Before I knew it, I was halfway down the aisle. Then I was around the front of the church. Then I was around the back of the church, shouting and acting like a lunatic. Why? Because I realized, hey, it's okay. It's going to be all right. And as that man sang and as that man glorified the Lord, his worship infected me. And I began to glorify and magnify the Lord. You know, oftentimes our attitudes affect others around us. And I would dare say that we have ever infected many people people with our worship tonight. I think about the generation coming up behind us. Most of the generation behind me and most of the generation behind you have never seen worship like some of the men in this room have seen. They've never seen God magnified like we have seen and had that privilege seen. You say, why is that so important? Because we're raising a generation of young people that have no clue how to worship. They have no clue how to magnify the Lord. I think about times that I were able to spend with some of the old saints and some of those older people that have gone on before, and how that they spoke of the things of God and they talked about the things of God and they talked about worshiping and magnifying the Lord. As a father, I need to pass that down to my children. As a father, I need my children to understand that, hey, it is okay to worship and bring glory and honor to the Lord no matter where you're at. I think about my grandfather. We would be out in a cornfield somewhere and he would begin to magnify the Lord. You know, how many times have we been by ourselves with our children and just say, you know what, child, or know what, Vivian? God's been good to us. We ought to thank the Lord. How many times have we set that time aside and say, Isalina, the Lord has been good to us. We need to thank the Lord. As a father, I need my worship to become infectious to my children. I think about as a body of believers, maybe God's been good to you and somebody's maybe down. Listen, your worship ought to infect that person that's down. It ought to be able to lift them up and pick them up. And so David's worship was a consecrated worship. It was a clean worship. It was a contagious worship. Then let me say, fourthly, it was a criticized worship. It was a criticized worship. As David began to worship and magnify the Lord, we find out his wife, Michal, begins to criticize him. Notice in verse 16, it says, "And the ark of the Lord came into the city of David. Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window." You know, there's too many people looking through windows. There's too many people looking through windows. We come to the house of the Lord to see what so-and-so is going to do, and see who's going to show up and how they're going to be and how they're going to react. And we're over here peeping through windows when we ought to be participating in what's going on. Michal, Saul's daughter, she was too busy looking through a window instead of worshiping like she ought to. Notice it says, "And Saul, King David, leaping and dancing before the Lord." Notice, and she despised him in her heart. She said, "I don't like what's going on." You know, there's a lot of people that get uncomfortable when people begin to worship. There's a lot of people that don't, they think, "Man, what's going on? I don't like this, you know. What's happening? I don't like this." You know, Saul's daughter, Michal here, she despised him in her heart because she saw his worship. But notice down in verse 20, it says, "Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today, and the eyes of his handmaid of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovering himself.'" She come out there and give him an earful. Chewed him out. Because he was worshiping the Lord. It was a criticized worship. You know how many of us at one time would magnify the Lord, but somebody said, "What are you doing that for? Oh, I know what you was going through last week, and you wasn't happy, and you were going through a hard trial, and now you want to come in here and say how good God's been. Why are you doing that? Why are you acting like that?" You know, so many times I believe that there's men and women who would worship the Lord, but somewhere along the way, Michal showed up and criticized them. Michal showed up and said, "Oh, what are you worshiping God all about? Why are you acting that way? Why are you behaving that way?" Hey, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me tonight. You don't know what people's going through. You don't know what people's facing. You don't know where people stand with God. And we got no business judging anybody else or looking at anybody else. If somebody wants to worship the Lord, whether they've been here 100 years or 5 minutes, we ought to let them worship and magnify the Lord. We don't know where they are with the Lord. We're not God. I think about this criticized worship. She began to criticize him and begin to tear him down and begin to try to destroy him. And I think about David's response. I love David's response. Verse 21, it says, "And David said unto Michal, 'It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father, before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people.'" He said, "Michal, listen to me. God chose me, not your daddy." You know, that was probably a pretty big blow to Michal. But what David was saying, look, David had a willingness to set aside his kingly robes, to set aside the fact that he was king of Israel and say, "You know what? I'm going to worship and magnify God." David had that desire. Ladies and gentlemen, you may be here tonight and somewhere along the way somebody's criticized your worship. And you say, "Well, I'll never say amen again. I'll never sing that song again. I'll never get up in that choir again. I'll never testify to the goodness of the Lord again. All because Michael showed up and said, yang, 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 yang. You ought to get that out of your life and get out of your way and go on with your worship tonight. Young people, if somebody's come up to you and it's been older than you and say, why are you singing like that? And why are you? You need to put that out of your mind and say, you know what? I'm going to go on praising the Lord anyway. Then let me say lastly tonight, I think about David and his worship and all that was going on. David's worship was a consecrated worship. It was a clean worship. It was a contagious worship. It was a criticized worship. But lastly, it was a compelled worship. A compelled worship. Down in verse number 21, it says, and David said unto Michael, it was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people, over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. David looked at Michael, and as I've already said, he says, listen, God chose me over your daddy. God appointed me to be ruler over your father. And I think about in David's mind. David's mind went back to when he was following those sheep herd and there was a lion that came out and God gave him victory. David's mind went back to where there was a bear that came out and God gave him victory. David's mind went back to where he was standing in that brook and he began to look down in that brook that day and he picked up a 45 caliber stone. And David went out there with his 45 caliber sling and he took that 45 caliber and he put it right between Goliath's eyes and took him out. And David said, you know what? I remember what God has done for me. David looked back on his life and he said, I remember when I was in that cave and I was alone and nobody was with me and those mighty men started showing up. David looked out and here come Chuck Norris and Sylvester Stallone and some other men. And he said, I've got help. I've got victory. I've got some men that's coming to help me. And God began to encourage David. David remembered the time when Saul threw the javelin and God allowed him to avoid it. David remembered fellowship with Jonathan and all of those things. And time after time after time, David remembered what God had done. And David said, you know what, Michael? God has compelled me to worship Him. God has caused me and given me a desire to worship Him. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know where we are tonight. I don't know what God's done for you. I don't know what God's brought you through. But I do know this. If you're born again, you ought to be compelled to worship the God of heaven. I think about tonight, if you live in the United States, you ought to be compelled to worship the Lord. I think about tonight, if you've got food in your belly, you've got a roof over your head, you've got a family that's somewhat together. I know we all got problems. But if you've got that going on in your life, you ought to be compelled to worship the Lord. If you have the next breath, to be able to breathe, you ought to be compelled to worship the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what we go through as a church. I hope the transition's smooth. I don't care what we've been through as a church. But understand this tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever we go through, whatever we've been through, we ought to be compelled to worship God. The Lord Jesus Christ ought to be magnified no matter what. The Lord Jesus Christ ought to be uplifted no matter what. And our worship must go on no matter what we're going through in our lives. Then let me say, I said lastly, I'm going to pull one more out tonight. I say not only was it compelled worship, but it was a continued worship. If you look over in chapter number 7, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, and it came to pass when the king sat in his house. Notice David's at rest here. And the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. That the king said unto Nathan, the prophet, see now I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go and do all that is in thy heart, for the Lord is with thee. David had a desire to build the house of the Lord. Now we know the story. David was a bloody man, and God said, you can't build the house of the Lord. So David would collect all the building materials to do so. But in doing so, David's worship continued. You know, sometimes when things are good in our lives, we fail to worship. We realize that, hey, God has brought us through a trial. Thank you, Lord. And then we go on and we don't continue our worship. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight our worship ought to be a continued worship. It ought not to stop when we walk out the back doors. It ought not to stop whenever we're going through a hard time or a good time or a bad time. Whatever we're going through, our worship ought to continue tonight. So tonight, in closing, I simply leave you with these thoughts. First of all, tonight, do you have a time of consecrated worship? A time in your life where you say, you know what, God, I'm going to take this time during my day, this time during my week. I'm not going to ask anything in prayer. I'm not going to ask anything about study. But God, I'm just going to worship you. I'm just going to magnify you. Maybe just take time in the morning to sing a hymn to God. Sing Amazing Grace or something before you read the Word of God. Sing something before the Lord and say, God, this is our moment in time where I'm just going to magnify and worship you. Then I think about tonight, maybe your worship's not like it ought to be because it's not clean. It's not clean. Man, what a sad thing it is tonight that we don't worship like we ought to because our lives aren't clean like they ought to be. Then I think about tonight, is our worship contagious? Is my worship infecting others around me, or I'm being infected by the others around me? Tonight I say we need to allow our worship to be contagious. And then maybe you're here tonight and you've received some criticism of your worship. Are you going to let somebody stop you from worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords tonight? Are you going to let somebody, just because they wanted to say something wrong or say something nasty to you, are you going to let that stop you from worshiping the one that died for you? And then I say lastly tonight, we ought to be compelled to worship the Lord. Whatever we go through in life, whatever we face in life, we ought to have a compelled worship tonight. As those come to the instruments tonight, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again for